Let me take this opportunity to ask whoever is in business. Maybe what the portfolio committee on rural development and land reform. And to express my appreciation for the agreement that we shifted our time from 10 to 11 o'clock. So I must also start with saying I want to thank you committee members in your participation in the ad hoc committee. I know this is not a meeting of the ad hoc committee, but I'm raising this because the ad hoc committee's life has come to an end. So I'm using this platform to express my thanks and appreciation for your participation. Remember, you are the lead department, and all of you made your humble contribution to the debate in terms of the mandate of the ad hoc committee. The debate that took place yesterday in the House in respect of the ad hoc committee also were indicative of the fact that we are alive with the challenges we're facing in terms of the issue of land, the issue of the redistribution of land, the issue of restitution of land, the issue of tenure, the issue of communal system, the challenges bedeviling communal property associations and the trusts. But the manner in which we are continuing to grapple with these issues is an indicative of the maturity of our democracy. There may be challenges in the process, but the reality is these are the challenges that we have to deal with time to time. And I must also indicate that as we are dealing with these challenges of land, we must also be alive to the fact that the problems we are trying to resolve, which all of us agree that the main genesis can be found on the 1913 Land Act, which actually formalized the process of dispossession. We must also realize that when that formalization was done on the 19th of June of 1913, the size of the Southern land was the same as it is today. In other words, the size of the land didn't grow because the land does not multiply. As I always say, it does not fall pregnant to give birth to smaller pieces of land. It remains the same piece of land. The challenge is we have how do we share it? And I think the debate yesterday was an indication that we may have different messages, or we may have different voices in addressing this matter, but the message is the same, that here are the problems and we have to resolve them. Emotive as they are. So I really want to express my appreciation in the absence of the formal ad hoc committee, which is normal, but to use this committee as a lead committee in that process to say we must continue to debate this matter, must continue to engage our constituencies in debating this matter, to show them the importance of an urgent resolution to this matter, because it will address a number of issues that are facing us. Triple challenges of poverty, unemployment, and inequality. I think land will be able to respond to some of the challenges, some of these most, you know, pressing challenges that we have. So that was just by way of saying, even on behalf of other committees which were part of us who are not here, We really want to say thank our work as an actual committee has now formally been accepted by Parliament. The important thing now is the role that we have to play from now is to play an oversight to ensure that the recommendations that we have put forward are actually attended to and met by this department that will play an oversight role and other sister departments which are part of us. Public Works, Arts and Culture, COGTA, and Human Settlements, and Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. Our task is to ensure moving forward that those recommendations are actually being implemented. And so it's one of the things that must constantly be on our agenda, because we are the lead department that must ensure that that legacy is reversed. So you are most welcome, colleagues. Are there any apologies?
Good morning, members. Good morning, colleagues. Apologies are from MP Parent, MP Kaba, Deputy Minister, and the Minister. Thank you.
Those are the apologies. And I must say, whilst we hear all these apologies, to indicate that the committee's content advisor, Mr. Chinelo Manenze, lost his father. His father passed on, was it on Sunday or Saturday? Sunday. His father passed on Sunday, so he has taken a few days to join the family in the bereavement, but also in preparing for the funeral. The funeral will be taking place on Saturday in Venice. In an area called Njerere in Venda. So for further details, you can contact the committee secretary, Ms. Nyamza. She'll be able to provide you with the further details in terms of the arrangements. We can also personally say that we send our sincere condolences to the family of Manenges. I have circulated a message of condolence on behalf of the committee to all of you, so that if you want to make additions, you can do so, but I thought it's better if we do it as a committee. Thank you very much. We are now going to be dealing with minutes. We have two sets of minutes. You will recall that in the last meeting, there was one set of minutes which was not ready at the time. That is the minutes of the 16th of October, which I'm going to put before this meeting for adoption. Page 1 of the minutes of the 16th of October, 2013. The first page. Second page, third and last page. Any mover? Move.
Chair, I formally move that the minutes of the 16th of October, 2018, be adopted. Thank you.
Seconder, Honorable Swati.
Thank you, Chairperson. I second.
Thank you very much. The minutes are moved and seconded. The minutes of the 23rd of October 2013, that is not the minutes of the last meeting that we had. Let's look at the first page. The second page.
Thank you, Chair. On the second page, I think number two, there should be an indication that minutes of the 8th and 15th of which month. Then I move for the adoption, Chair.
Sorry, what's the intervention there?
Item number two, minutes of the 8th and 15th were adopted with corrections. If they can just insert the month.
Okay, thank you very much. Page three. Any mover? Another November, second now? On November?
Chairperson, I move that the minutes be adopted.
Second now? Normal. The two sets of minutes are formally adopted by this meeting. Well, there is a slight anomaly in the agenda here because item number three should be number four, and number four should be number three. Matters arising always come after the meeting that we have done. But it's fine. Are there any matter arising on both minutes? Honourable Malik?
Chair, I'm not sure how we're going to address, but in the minutes of the 16th of October, there is... Let me just find it here. In the minutes of the 23rd, item number 5, where it refers to Ingonyama Trust, reported that it had not yet addressed the issue of the surplus as agreed during the meeting of 16th of October. Chair, I note that we have received a letter from the DG, amongst the stuff that's distributed here. And while I'm happy with all of that, I'd just like to know, if I may, through you, Chairperson, when the department wrote to National Treasury requesting permission for that surplus. When did that occur?
Can we have a response from the department?
Yes, sir.
Yesterday, sir.
Chairperson, thank you. That just raises the concern that although the Ingonyama Trust applied to the department for permission, it's outside of the audit period that the department applied for permission to National Treasury. If you look at the timing of things, there's a procedural irregularity here. That's all I'm raising. I'm not making a fuss about it. I'm just saying there's a procedural irregularity and that it needs to be addressed going forward. So if Ingonyama is going to make a surplus in this financial year, they must apply to the department in this financial year, who must apply to National Treasury in this financial year. I'm just saying that because we're looking back 12 months.
Honourable DG or Mr. Mutin.
So I think we just need to explain when we get audited by the Auditor General, it's only when they have concluded their audit that you can put your finger to exactly what it is, what is the value of your surplus. you may have an idea during the financial year, given your management reports as you work throughout the financial year, but only the audited figure will be the final figure of that particular surplus. So it's not possible to apply in that financial year for the surplus that you're going to make in that financial year. Because the financial year will end, you will then get audited, and an audited figure will come out as the surplus, and then you will then write to the Treasury to request the retention of that surplus.
Chairperson, I must respectfully disagree with the acting CFO, because Section 53 of the PFMA says that you need to have prior approval of the National Treasury, which means that when you anticipate making a surplus, you must inform National Treasury. I can read it to you if you'd like. It says, a public entity which must submit a budget may not budget for a deficit and may not accumulate surpluses unless the prior written approval of the National Treasury has been obtained. That means that you've got to get it in advance. So if you anticipate that you're going to make a surplus, you must apply for it. That's what the PFMA says. Now, I'm not trying to create a problem here. I'm saying going forward, if you think you're going to make a surplus, write a letter to the National Treasury and say, we're going to make a surplus. That's it.
Chair, if I remember well, the issue of the surplus was raised in our last committee meeting, of which it sounded as if the department was not did not follow the procedures. Then we mandated the department to engage the ITB for them to try and assist where they can, because the issue of the PFMA was also indicated in that particular meeting. I think this on this issue, because the department was not even, you know, aware of how the ITB has handled its surplus. I think the mandate that was given to the department was to go and sit down with the ITB for them to make sure that although ITB has got the surplus, they have to comply to the PFMA, because if they fail to comply, then it's a problem. I think this was the first step to make sure that in the next financial year, they make sure that if there's a surplus, they have to comply as indicated by the PFMA, you know, request the permission from the national, or inform the national treasury about that situation. That is why there was a delay, because on this letter, I think the department was responding to what we have made or requested the department to do, that they must correct this matter of the surplus.
Well, thank you very much, colleagues. I think it is correct that this matter was raised in the previous meeting of the surplus by the ITB, and that surplus representing the way it was handled, representing some degree of non-compliance. And the department responded at the time by saying they would engage with ITB and find a way of addressing the matter. We gave the department some time. I remember in the last meeting we actually pushed them to say, to give us a deadline. And I must say the deadline is today. We said 7 days, 7 days is today. And they complied, because they responded on the 6th day. And I must also add that in this paragraph 3 of the letter, also confirm what Mr. Marlin says. It quotes the very same PFMA Act, which says a public entity must submit a budget in terms of subsection 1 may not budget for a deficit and may not accumulate surpluses unless the prior written approval of the National Treasury has been obtained. And indeed, this was not the case in this instance. We are not taking this matter any further, rather than saying we close this matter now because there has been a meeting, there has been a discussion, this matter has been addressed. But moving forward, we have to comply with the section of the PFMA in dealing with surpluses and deficit in relation to the public entities. That is the conclusion that we are making. On this matter of ITB and the surplus, we know that there was non-compliance, but we appreciate the fact that as per the decision of the meeting, the issues were addressed between the department and the ITB. And the matter is now laid to rest in that matter, but we are saying moving forward, there has to be compliance with what the PFMA dictate to us. The matter is laid to rest in that fashion. Thank you very much. Any matter arising? None. Thank you very much. We will now proceed. Now we are moving to the consideration of the draft report on the BRRR. We have to try and see if we can finalize this BRRR today. The BRRR is the Budget Review and Recommendations Report. Now, in terms of this report, we have circulated a report yesterday from the side of the office to members to go through so that it makes things easier today as we deal with it to move as speedily as we possibly can. I must also say that time is running out for us. We have to submit this report to National Assembly. And we are dealing with this report guided by the templates which we were given in terms of how we should formulate the report, which areas to address, and so on. And I'm going to suggest that we go through this report section by section, indicating whether there are any issues that we want to add, and then we move as speedily as we can, because we don't have to take chance and just say we adopt without really having to look at whether the report talks to issues as we would like it to. I'm going to take the first part of the report, which is the introduction part. And I want members to address me on the introduction part. It will make things easier if we can look at it page by page if you like. But if you want to raise any other matter on the first section of the introduction, you will be welcome to do so. Any takers? Okay, nothing. Let's move to the key relevant policy focus areas. That is the second part, which is page 4. It's page 4 and half of page 5. Since there's nothing, Yes, Srila Mahana.
On page 5, the end of page 4 and the beginning of page 5, where they talk about the President's State of the Nation address and providing exceptions to the 1913 cutoff date, could we include there something along the lines that the committee expressed concerns about the constitutionality of such and that this would have to be reviewed? I'm just putting it out there that the 1913 cutoff date is a hard date in our constitution, and that any exception would have to be constitutionally valid.
Can I have comments from from members? Can you? Okay, before that, let's watch it.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning. Yeah, I think I support my colleague with regard to that, because the coming Restitution Act was divided into two, of which another part was talking of extension, but they said that the other part will also be before 1930, so that was exception. That's why I agree with my colleague there. That
Well, can I have comments, if there are any? Can you just clarify me one minor in terms of the constitutionality and of the proposal you're making?
Chairperson, I propose that where it says, in the third line, where it ends prior to 1913, that we insert a sentence after that that reads, the committee expressed concern that such a provision would have to comply with the South African Constitution.
I think that's a given, that has to comply with the Constitution. On page 5, sure.
Page 5, 1913 cutoff date.
I'm proposing
the third line, where it ends prior to 1913 and there's a full stop, that we put in there, the committee expressed concern that such a provision would have to comply with the South African Constitution.
Agreed. Madam Mabila.
Chair, if I remember well, during the briefing, we were told about the two processes, with the opening of the relogement for those who missed the cutoff date, and also to that there's a policy that is being developed for the exceptions to accommodate the COI and the SEN. I'm not sure whether what my colleague is raising is that that policy must be in line with the amendment of the Constitution for those groups that will be accommodated in that particular policy, the COI and the SEN. Because I thought that there were two processes that were briefed about, the opening, which doesn't need any constitutional amendment, and also the policy that the department is busy developing to accommodate the COI and the SEN. And the others, those who...
Yeah, well, according to the presentation we received from the department, just taking it from where Mr. Malam is making the point, the department indicated that indeed they are looking at just two processes. The first one is the reopening. So the first one is to accommodate people who missed the deadline. That's the first part, which is within the parameters of the constitution. then there are others who lost their land prior to 1913. That's where it comes to the Khoi and the San. Now, in the discussion, I remember a point being made about the constitutionality or otherwise of the phase prior to 1913. And I'm just trying to settle whether there wasn't an agreement from the side of the committee, but there's a proposal being made now to say that if, when we submit this thing, at least there should be an indication that such a concern was raised as to the constitutionality of opening up the process which accommodate incidents prior to 1913. Yes, I think that's where we are. Before we conclude on this thing, can I get an indication from the department as to what response did they give to this particular matter before we insert that thing? I don't think there's anything major, but I just want to find out from the department as to what was their response. And because I know that one of the things they said was they spoke about a policy, exceptions, and so on. But maybe I should, this should refresh our minds. And what did it?
Thank you, Chair. I thought the point that was being raised was an obvious one, that the committee, in the statement it makes, it can say, obviously, such a policy would have to be in line with the Constitution. I don't think it is a concern. It is a given fact that any policy or law approved by the executive and the legislature must be in line with the Constitution, because these two institutions cannot knowingly undermine the Constitution.
So can we therefore move in the line that says the committee indicated that the exceptions which will be addressed by that policy must be in line with the Constitution. Something in that line. Yes, I think that's fine. Are you happy with that?
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. If we're done with this part, can we move to the third area, financial and performance recommendations? Just a grammatic correction there. The first paragraph, the last sentence, it specifically recommends this is in the location for there. Just remove the other four there. Just a repetition there. On page five, three key financial performance recommendations. Under 3.1, the first paragraph, the last sentence, the report starts with "is specifically recommended." My reads "is specifically recommended increases in allocation for there." So I'm saying the first four there might just be removed. Just grammar. What's the new one? Oh, okay.
The previous paragraph, where it says this section presents an overview of the committee's financial and service delivery recommendations for the, and then it should be read 2011-12.
Yeah, 2011. Can I get a modern paper? I'm having an ancient one. So remember. So what are we talking about, Ramadan?
Chairperson, in the second line of the very first paragraph of that section, it says, this section presents an overview of the committee's financial
and service delivery recommendations for the 2011-12.
Oh, not 211. Okay. Correct that. Okay. Let's move to page 6. Page 7. Page 8.
Page 8. In table 3, just again, a typo error, geospatial in the second table, the second line of the second line.
Okay, the F is removed. Page 6. Okay, sorry.
Page 6, the second bullet from the last on top there. Enhance the performance of the analysis program and present plans, not plans.
Well, like in the construction sector now. Plans. Back to page 8. Page 9.
Shepherd.
9.
On page 9, in the second paragraph. Whilst the department has made payments to an amount of $853.296 million to conveyancers with an RS. And then the next sentence, the committee urged the department to find mechanisms through which land transfers for land reform could happen. It should read, in a timely manner.
Just say it again.
Land transfers for land reform could happen in a timely manner.
In a timely manner.
Then, Chairperson, if we go to 4.21, a little bit further down the page, I'm not sure if it should go here or a bit further on in the report. We're talking about administration, and there are a lot of capacity constraints. And there's a comment a couple of pages further on about the vacancy rates, etc. In fact, let me leave it till there. Let me leave it till the vacancy, before we get to the vacancy rates.
Okay. But we're on page 9 now.
Yeah.
Page 10. Page 11. Page 13.
Let's share on 13.
Yes, sir.
This is where we talk about it. The first paragraph at the top of page 13, 16% funded vacant posts. The department reported that the increase resulted from the number of new positions that were established, especially in the program of rural development. Whilst concerned about 68% instead of 100% implementation, 48% instead of 50% implementation of organizational renewal, the committee welcomed attempts to ensure that these targets were achieved. But the one thing we don't talk about here is the very high vacancy rate in senior management. The 19.3% vacancy in senior management position.
What are we suggesting?
I think just an expression of concern at the high vacancies. That's 1 in 5 members of the senior management team were at that time. There was a vacancy of 1 in 5.
That's it. Proposal. The committee must express concern about or say something about high vacancy rate at senior management level. General Swati?
Yeah, thank you very much, Chairperson. I think when we were discussing budget, we also included that one. I think it is relevant to be in the report. Thank you.
Honorable Gwenya Mavida?
So while I agree that it's relevant to be in the report, maybe if we can just top it by saying that the department must try to reduce the dependency on the consultants by recruiting the skilled personnel in critical positions. Because we have a concern of the, you know, more consultants being used by the department instead of filling the critical position.
Thank you, Honourable Mabima. I think if one tried to recall what happened during the presentations, I remember the DG did highlight the fact that they do have a challenge which actually even impact on the capacity of the department to some extent to develop policy. And I think our capturing must be in such a way that it broadens the scope from just being concerned as a committee, but to indicate I think the dependence on consultants is a problem, because I'm just trying to say maybe we should find a way of sort of making an intervention which seeks to address the problem in totality, because the high dependence on consultants results not only in the weakening of department in terms of its capacity to develop policy, but also in spending more money, which doesn't have value for the department, because it doesn't plant any skills. People just come in there, plow their skill in, not to share with anybody, but just for the department to realize certain short-term objectives, which can be a continuous problem if not nipped in the bud. So you're saying you want to suggest a combination? Go ahead.
Chairperson, I think that the first part of it is that we express concern about the high vacancy rate, in brackets 19.3%, amongst senior management positions, and the consequential employment of consultants to provide the services that these vacancies have. I'm just waffling now, but I mean, as a result of that high vacancy rate, we are employing consultants. So that's the first part. We express concern about it. Now we need to, as you say, propose an intervention. The committee recommends that the department proactively seek to fill all senior management positions by the end of 2014, or reduce the turnover rate reduce the vacancy rate in senior management positions to 10% by the end of 2014.
Okay, I hear both of your inputs. Can we look to a formulation that says the committee observed a shortage of senior, or a lack of appointment of senior personnel in the department, and which therefore the committee recognized that our role as an oversight arm should also be to provide recommended solutions to the problems that the department is facing. So we have observed that there is a major challenge in terms of the department filling up senior level positions, which that we therefore recommended to the committee to reduce its high dependence rate on consultants. And I think when we added something to the end that talks about the filling of vacant roles. I want you to repeat that so you can put, we don't have to lose it. We must put it in the recommendation. We have observed that there is a challenge in terms of the filling of senior management post the department. As a committee, we recommended the department that to reduce its dependence on consultants. And I don't know, you said concentrate and or urge them to fill vacant posts with skilled and relevant personnel, something to that sort.
Chair, just a follow-up, and I seem to recall the DG talking about a high turnover rate as people became director level, they'd move off to other departments and things like that. Maybe one of the things we need to add in as a recommendation is that the department needs to look at a staff retention policy, something to attract or keep people within the department, provide them with a growth pool. I don't know, that's his job. But we propose that the department looks at a staff retention policy.
Yeah, staff retention is a very important element, because for any institution to survive is to guard against, training people. After training people, those people exiting and going to other areas. So I think that department will cease being a department, but end up being, a training field, just to train people leaving. So I think retention of skill is a very important element that the committee must also emphasize. I'm not sure that those who are scribing will have to find a better formulation here. And as we proceed, they'll come back to us and give us the formulation. Yeah, Honorable Swatin.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm actually not comfortable with the way to observe. But I was thinking that we need to have a way that actually can give every person who's going to read this document to understand that we need a way that is going to give a very, very powerful message. But observe, I think, is lenient. But as a committee that is doing oversight, I think we must be concerned so that area could be addressed, because that's what we actually were seen when we were doing our oversight. So that actually concerns us. So that the person who's going to deal with this matter will address that in a very same breath as we are actually expressing ourselves as portfolio committee. But I think observe to me is light. Thank you.
Well, you see, observe is very light, you say, Honorable. you say we must hit them hard. But I think an observation is also very important. If you observe and make a recommendation, it then helps you that next time when you make an assessment and your observation and recommendations are not actually applied. And that's where you begin to move your screw, you know, two levels high. To say, I observed this thing, I have actually warned you about this, and I also gave you a remedy in terms of how you should address and you failed. So I think for me, it's very important that when we are lucky, after elections, we come back, and we are lucky, we are appointed the same committee, we sit like this again, and we are charged to deal with the BRRR again. We can say, but we observed this thing, and we recommended how you should deal with them, and you haven't. And now you need some kind of a strong, you know, action to push you to respond. But for now, I want to ask the committee that let's leave the wedding as proposed. I understand where you're coming from, but let's leave the wedding as because the important thing is we have put a recommendation after observation. We said we've observed this, and this is what we recommend you should do. And I'm sure Treasurer will also be happy when they look at this thing to say, oh, at least, because Treasurer will also start measuring them on the basis of recommendation that we gave them. Shall we leave it at that?
Yes.
Thank you very much. We were on page, we move to page 14 now.
On page 13, Chairperson, 5.1.2,
yes.
I would like to make an addition on the first paragraph. The addition will go as, the department must also be commended for the introduction of state land administration and tenure reform branch for management of assets. I'm not sure if you have got me.
Can you say it again?
I would like to make an addition after the full stop on the first paragraph to read as follows. The department must also be commended for the introduction of state land administration and tenure reform branch for management of assets.
Just a question, was that during the year in question? Did that branch get formed in the year that's under review, or did it get formed now in the current financial year?
What's the name of the branch?
It's State Land Administration and Tenure Reform.
State Land Administration and Tenure Reform. DG, this State Land Administration and Tenure Reform, as I understand it, it was to deal with assets. Land that is lying all over the shore, and I understand it that the Auditor General has been raising it all the time. Now, the question is, the proposal is we add it here, and the question from Oral Malam is, was it for this current financial year that we're dealing with now?
Okay, thank you very much. Yes, you are correct. It has been a problem. Thank you.
We, the department, for almost 4 years, we had received qualified audit because of poor management of immovable assets. And we, for the first time in 2012-13, we have an unqualified audit in this area. A decision was taken during 12:13 to set up this branch so that we are able to, among other things, deal with this question. The approval from the Department of Public Service and Administration was received, I think, in July, August, approving, because minister can make the decision, but the Minister of Public Service and Administration must concur. So the concurrence happened this year, this financial year.
There we are. Agreed that we said it. Thank you very much. We move to page 14. Honorable November.
On page 14, there is a sentence, third paragraph. Ne? On CRDP. But that last sentence doesn't sound nice to me. It was consent. Is that correct? It doesn't sound very nice to me. I'm not English. I'm African mostly. What's up like this?
Well, let's just read the whole paragraph so they can make sense to all of us. Again, an important issue that CRDP needs to clarify its mandate and rules and role. Let's remove that in.
Is it correct?
Yeah. Again, an important issue that CRDP needs to clarify. Is the mandate. Okay, fine. Makes sense here. The committee expressed this sentiment in line with the fact that CRDP interventions also deals with privatization of irrigation schemes, and this was understood to be the core mandate of the Department of Agriculture, Forest and Fisheries. It was concerned that there was a concern. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was a concern. Okay. Yes, sir.
The paragraph before, where we're talking about NARISEC, and I agree with everything that's stated in that paragraph. It talks about the department needing to look for broad-based and cost-effective means of job creation in these areas because of the rate at which the youth from the skills training programs in NARISEC are graduating. I think we need to add in here that there needs to be a greater interaction with DAF, Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, in order to assist them with the rollout of their programs. Because these NARISEC youth are being trained in agricultural, agrarian skills. So I'd like to see that there be closer cooperation between rural development and DAF in order to utilize these youth more fully.
Are there only the two departments which deal with that? Honorable Madilama?
Chair, I agree with what Madam is saying, Honorable Madam is saying, but it's not only the Department of Agriculture, because there are other ones who are trained on plumbing, artisan, building and whatever. So there should be an interaction with other relevant departments.
Thank you very much. Let's make it all other relevant departments. Okay. Page number 15. Sorry, let's just go to page 13. There was something that we were supposed to correct earlier when we missed it.
On page 13, at the top, let me just make sure that these pages are the same. Otherwise, no, they're not the same now. Check what point is that, please? Yes, under 5.1.1. Can you just explain it quickly? Page 13, yes. So instead of 41.5, you should read 48.5, right? On what page was I now?
16.
Page 15. 16, yes. Any comments on page 16?
On page 16, Chairperson, spatial equity, I think it's the first sentence. The committee commended the department for the completion of the spatial land use management bill, which has already been signed. I think BIN has been missed there.
Page 17, Honourable
Madam.
Oh,
page 16. I'm lost on this. Because somewhere I noted under one of the, which was 5.1.3.
Yes. Is on page 14.
14. There was something that has been mentioned about the 23 districts, while on the back page, it was page 4, where there was an indication under key relevant policy focus areas that identified 22 poorest districts. While on the other page, it was 23. I don't know whether it was correct. I was just looking for it, but I can't.
On page 4, the second paragraph,
yes.
That's where it talks about the 22 poorest districts.
Yes.
And then you're saying...
On page 14, it was in page
4.
On page... But it's simply 22, yeah?
Yeah. 22, and also when going to page 14 under rural development, I think, where is that now?
Maybe you're referring to an ancient paper that was used earlier.
This many papers, because it was 22, 23.
It has been corrected.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much. Page 16 again, anything? Page 17, at the moment.
Chairperson, under 6.6.1, first line, the committee appreciates the excellent performance. Page 17.
Under restitution.
And then Chairperson, 6.6.2, I have a little bit of a concern there. And that's the last part of that paragraph, where they talk that this means the department will need an allocation of 8.6 to 11.9 billion per year for the next 15 years. I think we first need to put in, we'll need an additional allocation, because that's over and above its current allocation. They will need additional funding for restitution in those amounts to settle the new claim. Then the last sentence, the department indicated it will make a submission to National Treasury for additional funding. I have no problem with that. The department did indicate that, but what worries me is that the Minister of Finance indicated as part of his medium-term budget policy statement last week that there would be no more funding forthcoming and that the department would have to make do out of its existing budget. So I don't quite know how we're going to reconcile reopening land claims without a budget.
Okay, the first point you're making is that this means that the department will need an additional allocation of 8.6 billion to 11.9 in 15 years to settle new claims. And the department indicates that will make, and then what the second one you're raising is the department indicates that it will make submissions to this for additional funding.
They said that, yes.
And then you're saying what the minister said is contrary to, can you help us here? I know you drafted this thing before you know what the Minister of Finance was going to say. Surely, because I don't think we can blame you much for that.
No.
Because you didn't know what the minister was going to say. So, just tell me how it works. If or when the minister make a statement like the one he made, does it mean that there are no exceptional circumstances? Because I'm raising this thing because I'm sure that, because you know, a budget, it's not a Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You can allocate billions to a particular department and then a serious disaster happens in two line functions. You'll be forced to divert funds from one area. Those are exceptional circumstances. So I'm saying we can only note what the minister said. But that does not take away the fact that the department is having an intention. I can give you an example which is not quite nice. Let's say you have a situation where the people start a very strong mobilization exercise in demand for land. And we have no option but to respond in a particular way. So we definitely have to find money for some. So I'm saying, let us just leave it. It will simply mean there may be those exceptional circumstances which are not like a cause of serious concern to us, which may cause the Treasury to make some kind of exception.
Can we put in a line at the end there that the committee noted with concern that the department's budget did not allow for this or had not made provision for this, and it was unlikely that additional funding would be forthcoming? Just so that we highlight the fact that we are aware that National Treasury has said there is no more money for it. Because what worries me is if we're going to pass legislation that calls for this and there's no money for it. I'm treading on eggshells here because I'm worried that if we're going to pass legislation we're not going to be able to implement.
That's cool of me. No, sorry.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I remember when we were talking about this coming of the bill. I also raised that that concern, but I was told that they will have to find a way of getting a budget to actually to make sure that that bill actually is funded. So now it also comes again because also the Minister of Finance is also indicating that there is not going to be another additional funding. So I think for highlighting it is very important, just to show that we actually observed that and then we also have, we respond to that. Thank you.
Well, DG, maybe not trying to put you on the spot. Can I ask you this question? Does the department believe or agree with the estimation by the estimate by the regulatory impact assessment of 129 billion to 179 billion, depending on these options in the next 15 years? Are these estimates something? If I may use that, I don't know.
Indeed, you are putting me in a very difficult position. We asked people who we thought would be objective in assessing what it would cost to reopen going forward. That didn't take into account whatsoever what the prevailing economic conditions in the country are and will be in the next 10 years. So the executive expressed that particular view from what is obtaining in the current economic environment, and yet there had been particular policy interests that were expressed. So I'm just saying, Chair, The regulatory impact assessment was they played with the numbers, looking at trends, but it didn't take into account the current economic environment. I guess the committee has got to deal with a practical reality that while it is its responsibility to pursue this just and equitable dispensation insofar as this land question is concerned, there are certain economic realities that we must balance against.
Given what Honorable Malam says, I suggest the following. We, as a committee, we take note of the fact that when this report was drafted, the Minister of Finance hasn't shared with us the fiscal challenges that prevail currently. So what we need to say as a cushion, we just add one sentence that says, the committee noted what the Minister of Finance said during the medium-term budget, and we leave it at that. We know, because the thing is, I think if we had the Minister of Finance statement before, we would have arrived at a different approach here. So, but we can't change track now because we have discussed this matter based on the information available to us at the time. But we must just indicate that we note what the minister said during the medium-term budget statement. I think it will be enough to cover us, to say, but how did you arrive at this when the minister said the following? I suggest we leave it at that. We must not complicate it further. Let's leave it at that. We just take note of the comments. Agreed? Thank you very much. Let's move to page 18. Honorable Mabila and then Honorable Malik, in that order.
On page 18, 6.8.1, the last sentence on the Communal Property Association amendment, not amendment. Just add the D.
Thank you. Madam
Chairperson, I'd like to propose that we add in 6.8.2, the committee urged the department to urgently address urban tenure reform. Because one of the issues that came out during our oversight visit, and I think that kind of spoke extensively on it yesterday, I do think it's something that the department has largely ignored, for want of a better word.
The committee
neglected.
The committee urged the department to urgently address the issue of
urban
tenure
reform.
Agreed.
The committee.
Yeah, the committee urged the department to urgently address the issue of urban tenure reform. Is added. Thank you. Any other matter on page 18? Nothing. Page 19. Madam?
Chairperson, I'd like to propose that we add in, this is under 7.1, financial performance, including forward funding recommendations. Now, here we're making a recommendation looking ahead. I'd like to add in a new point between 7.1.2 and 7.1.3 that says something along the lines of no additional or no new claims will be accepted without a funding mechanism having been put in place. In other words, that until such time as we know how we are going to fund the no new claims to be accepted by the department until a funding mechanism is in place. Basically what I'm saying here is until we know how we're going to fund these things, we can't reopen the claims process.
The context under which the proposal is being made, I understand it, but what I want to find out is that are we saying that other processes must not take place before we are sure that we are funded? This program is being funded. The department must make sure that the program is being funded first before they open, or they can start with other processes while they are still negotiating with Treasury.
Honorable Swati.
I think the proposal by Honorable Ngwenya Mavila actually will put us in a very, very difficult position. Because once we allow the process to start, we must have the funding. Let's for example, if we say the process must open next week, people will be coming and starting to lodge their. And then if there is no funds, where are you going to get the funds to actually to make that, to roll out that? So I think we actually need to touch on that one to see which best way can actually address the issue. Rather than saying that, let's allow for this to start, and thereafter we say there is no budget, and it will put us in a very, very, very difficult position. Because once we put it there, it's legal. Now we cannot say to people that I don't have funds to actually to roll out that. Thank you.
Honourable Member.
Chairperson,
I might be a little bit confused. As it is now, people are WUKA waiting for this. And how do we reverse this? Because they've heard it from the president. What do we do then? They blame it on Anthony. They blame it on the Manson.
I was just perusing through the program. The program is telling us, in other words, that this bill will be finalized towards the end of the financial year. Because when looking at the program, come again. Although it's not an approved draft program, but when looking at that draft program which was circulated, this bill, the process will not start until the amended bill is being passed. That is number one. When looking at the program is telling you the draft, that this process can take place at the beginning or mid the new financial year, 2014-2015. So I think from now the department is engaging Treasury, while on the other side we are continuing with our process as Parliament. So it's not an event that this will be done tomorrow, but it's a process. I think by then the Treasurer will be able to decide on this matter before we pass this amended bill.
Chairperson, I hear what has been said by my colleagues to my left, and I agree and I understand completely that people are eager for this process to commence. What I'm concerned about is creating an unrealistic expectation, that we create an expectation that the department is unable to deliver on. In other words, we open the claim process, and then suddenly there's no money, and everybody sits and says, well, now what? And we have to wait 5 years, 10 years, 20 years before there is money. Because it's a lot of money we're talking about, 179 billion rand. It's a huge amount of money. It's what? 20 times your current budget, current annual budget. 20 times your current annual budget. Now, my point is that we can't reopen that process. We can't open the door and say, come and submit your claim. Until we know, I'm not saying we have to have the money in place, but we have to know how we're going to find the money. That's all I'm asking, is that we have a funding model in place before we reopen the claims process.
Well, I think the issue of the budget is an issue that is very important. But I think we cannot, you know, preempt in a situation where it does have the potential of pitting the government against the people. We can't do that. We can't take a decision that says to our people, yes, your land was taken from you, but we are saying now we can't do anything. The approach is we have to make decisions and go and look for money. That's what we must do. We must go and have decisions, make decisions, and go and look for money to address. You know, it's like I say to people who took the land, we can ask whether it was legal or illegal. Say, until we find a solution, we remove that land from you because it's a dispute. We remove it from you, you can't use it because it's a dispute. And I think it will be a big problem if you go that route. So I'm saying a problem exists which needs to be financed. And it's not a simple problem. It's a big problem which was caused by historical realities, which no one can deny. They are documented those realities. Now, and our people, it doesn't mean that we don't create, expectations are there already. They don't have to be created. People know that. Hang on. People know that they don't have land. They know. Every time when they sleep, they know they don't have land. When they wake up in the morning, they know they don't have land. So for me, if you say we are creating expectations, I don't think it's the right way of looking at it. Now, as government, we have a responsibility to make decisions, upon which decisions, which will constitute a business plan, we must go and look for money. To say we've got these challenges, these are our plans how to deal with challenges, then we want money to get money. But we can't say, we can't take any claim from anybody as long as our pockets are empty. It's like leadership crying with the masses. No one is able to come with innovative and initiatives of how to address the problem. So I want to suggest that we leave this thing as easier. As and when we need budgets, money, that's why we've got forums like this. We come here and sit down and say, how do we finance this thing? We can arrive at a position that says, okay, fine, this thing needs to be done in 5 years. Then, I mean, we went through public hearings in the ad hoc committee. I haven't heard anyone saying, suspend this program until you have money. I haven't came across any input to say, okay, we hear you, members of parliament, you are here, but, you know, where are you going to get the money from now? So, honorable members, please, let us not take decisions which will likely pit the government against the citizens of the country. We must not do that. I'm giving you the last round of on this debate. Honorable Swate and then Honorable Malan in that order.
Thank you very much, Chairman. I think here we're talking off budget. And I think we are relevant to raise this because we're talking off budget. And when we're doing oversight, there are so many claims that are not finalized as we speak. The old claim, those people who have claimed before, the 31st of December 2008. They're still out under implementation. Now, there is going to be a new lodgement. Now, the issue is, where do we find the money? The issue that Honorable Milam is putting on the table is saying, when we put that sentence, it says to the treasurer, we want to do this, but we don't have funds. Until we are guaranteed that there is budget to actually to roll out this, then it will be actually something that is going to be having a base. But if we are just saying, okay, let's just put it there, and then there is no funds, then what will happen? Because what we are putting here, we are not saying give them money. We are saying we want them to, when we put a law or a bill, that bill must be funded. So when we put that, saying if there is no funds, it means that the exercise that we are doing, in fact, is not going to give us a good result. That is what it in a nutshell we are saying. But we are not saying don't fund it. We are saying find the money. That's the message that we are putting. Thank you.
No, I know Chairperson first, and then I will
Chairperson. First of all, I think you're mischaracterizing the way that I put this thing. I'm not saying we shouldn't reopen the land restitution process. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying until we have the money, we can't do it. And you talk about pitting people against the government. That is exactly what putting an unfunded project like that out there will do. It will create the expectation. It will create a beggar's doll. It will create a stag spirit where people are expecting to be given land that we can't finance, that we have no way of delivering on. And all that is political games. That's all that is. So until we have the money, we should not be doing this. We would then be a responsible government. Our job as this committee is to exercise oversight over the department. And one of our methods of oversight is to ensure that they do things in a responsible manner. It is irresponsible to set yourself up for failure. I mean, just just the administrative aspect, just setting up the process, is going to require an additional 1.37 billion rand that hasn't been budgeted for. That's just to set up the offices and the staff and the computers and the, all the other stuff. That was in the regulatory impact assessment, 1.37 billion, not in the budget at all. Now, this is the budget recommendation report. And we're saying, where are you going to find the money? I don't believe we would be doing our job if we allow this to go through without expressing that as a concern. And that's really all I'm saying.
Well, I wish that we can go to people who are in need of land and say that to them. Because we can say this sitting in these nice air-conditioned offices. We can say a lot about things, about putting things on hold until this happens. But I can also say, we can also say, we must urge the government to find money to address this challenge. After that, Honorable Mazambeja Mabila and Honorable November, Honorable Dwakulu, in that order.
When I read 7.1.1, what are we saying? And reading that in line with 7.1.2. Is it not what you are saying now?
Not really.
What is really? Because here we are saying that there's this bill that is in front of us. We need money. Then what is it that you want? Or we must just put it in the other, maybe weights or English or higher grade or standard grade. Because that is what you want. You are saying, here is the bill, has got financial implications. Then these are the recommendations that this bill must be funded. Then what else do we want? We are saying there's an outstanding of claims. And those claims, outstanding claims, they need money. What is it that we want? Maybe if we want to rephrase, but if you listen well to the colleagues, that is what you are saying, that when we pass this bill must be funded for the department to be able to implement it. Those outstanding claims must be funded for the department to be able to finalize those claims before the new relogement. That is what you are saying. And that is what people were saying outside.
Honorable November, thank you very much.
Chairperson, thank you. I think Honorable Ngwenya Mabila have said it all. We leave this as it is. We'll then, when Treasury is saying this, then we'll then see forward to how we go. But we leave this as it is, rather than to put something out and then next time, we don't know whether we're coming back and say, if we cannot, I thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Kulukulu.
Thank you, Chair. On this point, I was just trying to think, Chairperson, whether are we as a committee not saying these are the plans for the future? Is it not that we are planning for the future? All what is tabled here is just to say the process should go on. If the bill is passed, funding should be sought. Then, if one may look at what happened when the first act was promulgated with regards to the restitution, it has taken so long, but we've seen people toying, demanding land. Just because they are patient, they are still waiting to get the opportunity to get their land back. If we say we should wait until we have funds available, obviously that's what we will see as what the Zimbabweans have seen. Britain promised, never kept the promise, and the Zimbabweans then started forcing the farmers out of the land because they demanded that was their land, actually. That's what my only contribution is, that I would like to make. Thank you.
Honorable Tanyani.
Chairperson, thank you. I think our process must continue as is. We're not going to stop because we foresee a situation where we don't have money. There's no money. We have backlogs. We are in agreement with it. And we're going to move forward. If you look at the proposed program that we're having, that is before us, our process must continue up until the end of February. That will be the end of the financial year, like Honorable Ngonya Mabila has stated. So we're not going to stop because we have to put a certain thought that will accommodate my colleague, Honorable Malam. We're going to proceed, and the department is going to continue engaging with Treasury, and we leave the process as is here. Thank you very much.
Well, I've listened to Honorable Ngonya Mabila. I've listened to Honorable November, Honorable Kulu, Honorable Matlanyani. They are saying we leave these clauses as they are now. I've listened to Honorable Malam and Honorable Swati. You are the only two who are pushing for the insertion of a new clause. So it's obvious that the majority view, from the comments that I've had, do not support the inclusion of a new clause. So I will rule in favor of the majority view that is prevailing in the House and say that we're moving forward, we don't include any new clause. Thank you. Page 20. Is there any other comment that you want to make on the report? Any other comment that you want to make on the report? Remember that what we are discussing was what's on the report. If you have anything that you want to add on the report before we finally approve it, it's your chance before we finally adopt the whole report. Any comments? Honorable Gwenya Mawira?
Chair, I think I don't know whether because I tried to withdraw the report because while we identify the challenges within the department, we must also identify the successes. While I was looking at the report and also the annual report, I think the department was able to, irrespective of the challenges that we have identified, but they were able to achieve most of their targets. We must also comment on the issue of the unqualified report because it was a progress and a plan that the department has put in place to address the matters of emphasis as identified by the Auditor General, and also its effort to try and achieve outcome number 7, irrespective of the challenges that they are experiencing currently. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Honorable Malam?
Chairperson, first of all, I do think, and I can't find it right now, but I do recall reading that there was reference made to the unqualified audit and the emphasis that's in this document. It does mention that. What? No, there is. I'll find it. But I don't agree with the statement that the department achieved the majority of its targets. It only achieved 8 out of 26 targets, and that's reported extensively throughout it. That's not a majority, that's 30%. 8 out of 26 targets. And it's reported in several places throughout this document, Chairperson.
Chair, we don't have the... It's unfortunate that I don't have the annual report with me. I don't know what is written here. I just realized that somewhere the department has achieved... has not achieved its target, but I don't know whether it was mentioned according to as per the program or as per all the programs of the department. If the researcher can assist us with that, if I'm correct, I think they will put my proposal, they record my proposal. If Mr. Malam is correct, they will just leave it. But I'm not sure whether they've just look at all the programs, or they were saying in one of the programs of the department.
In terms of the overall performance, MP Maema is correct. But in terms of regularment, the department did one program.
In terms of percentage, how in rural development, do you remember?
Yeah, my proposal is that we just leave it as it is, not adding anything. Thank you.
There's a proposal that we leave it as it is currently. Agreed? Agreed. Can I get a mover with amendments on the BRRR report? Honourable November.
Thank you, Chairperson. I so move that the report be accepted. Thank you.
With amendments?
With amendments, Chair. Thank you.
Ms. Agenda? Any second now?
Second.
Honourable Mabina. Any further support?
Further.
I'm not going to call the support. So I tell you, support.
You've got support.
Okay, thank you very much for the discussion on this BRRR. And I must indicate, colleagues, that it has been one of the tasks that has been outstanding that we needed to resolve. So amendments will be inserted and the report will be sent to Parliament. That's our report for the committee. Colleagues, we have done with the report. Now, I'm sure you are aware of the oversight public hearings that we have to undergo. There is a draft program. The process has been approved by Parliament and the relevant bodies, so this thing is taking place. It's there for your information to know where you're going. I'm not sure if there are any questions. People can raise their questions now. In terms of the challenges that we face during the oversight, I think those I will address with the relevant body as I was requested to do so during our last meeting, just to make sure that we don't encounter those kind of challenges as we move towards this program. Are there any questions on the program? Madam Mabila, Mbanya Mabila.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think the program is clear, but what I want to just request is just is that here on the travel immediately after plenary, I think we need to have a date here, and also the provinces, you know, so that we know that best what, because we don't know which are the number. So if they can assist with the with the provinces on each and every public hearing. Then coming to the one the Mpumalanga one. I'm not sure whether the plane is that from Enkangal we are driving to Jobek. Because if the plane is that members must fly, I think we need to start with Enkangala and end with the Nelsbridge, because the airport is in Ekanzin, yes. But if you're planning that members from Middleburg must travel to the airport, I think it's plus minus 100 something kilometers. So it's better to, if members are supposed to fly, then we start with Enkangala, we end in Ekanzin. I think other members who are living in these provinces can assist with regards to the arrangement also. So that means Zamazik, so that for us not to do the zigzags, you know, when we arrive there. You know, where can we start, where can we end for us to be able to fly to another place.
Thank you very much. I think it is correct the way they put it. We started in Tanzania, then we end up at Ikangala, because Ikangala is next to the airport. So if we start there, we are going to be far when we have to fly. So I think the way they put it is correct.
Which airport are we talking about?
We're talking of O-Astam.
Where is it in
Tanzania? Tanzania is the same bush battery.
I think the argument is not to say, unless if you are saying those who are in Kangala will fly from, or from here, where are we going?
So,
from Mpumalanga, where to?
What I'm saying is,
I'll give a chance to speak. Because if from Mpumalanga we are going to our respective homes, which means those who are in Kangala can fly from O.R. Tambo, isn't it?
Yeah.
And those who are in Tanzania can fly from Nelsbridge. Am I right?
No.
Yeah, no. Chairperson, that's what I'm saying, because when you fly from Kruger National there, you are not going to get direct flight to Cape Town or to other areas. But when we start there and we finish at Ekangala, all of us we can go to O.R. Tambo and go to various places, because it will be Friday. So that's why I'm saying this program is correct the way they put it. We don't have to change it.
Okay, agreed?
No?
Never tell me why you don't agree. I don't know.
Jefferson, there is an airport in Nelsbridge. It's Nelsbridge Cook. So if we end up in Eshanzeni district, we are going to be able to go to Nelsbridge airport and then connect at O.R. Tambo. I think it's as simple as that.
Well, can we say that those who have got better knowledge of this area can meet with the secretary just to sort out the logistics in terms of how best, whatever agreement must be convenient to the members. Can we agree on that?
Yeah.
Any other comments on the program? I think the travel date here will be the 6th of November after the plenary. Yeah. Okay. Then, is there any other business that you want to raise? Well, in the absence of any other business that you want to raise, I can see people are now jumping towards their business. You know, that was still two items that I want to put on the agenda. But in the absence of any other item, let me thank you very much for participating in this discussion. And as I said, this report will go to Parliament after accordingly being amended. And we've got another leg of our visit to provinces in terms of the land restitution bill. So we're looking forward to to those consultation processes. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned. I understand.